Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Joining me here for the conversation today, glad to welcome back asset allocation strategist for the Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Paul Hsiao. Paul is joining us to provide some highlights from the latest CEO macro briefing book. This is an ongoing series which Paul has covered on this podcast quite a few times in recent years. So with that, Paul, thank you for dropping by today to talk about the latest with our listeners and our clients. Great to have you back.
Great to be here. Thanks, Dan, for having me.
Absolutely. And I do up front want to point out to you, our listeners, and especially our clients of UBS, as mentioned, the latest CEO macro briefing book is now available. So for clients, please reach out to your UBS financial advisor to receive a copy directly, or you may locate the piece up on UBS.com/CIO. Though, let's dive into it, Paul. I know back in 2025, we talked about how deal making at the time had picked up. What have you been picking up on here in 2026? Is the momentum continuing? Can it continue?
Yeah, I think, Dan, I think it's worth putting 2025 in the context of the cycle. So, you know, M&A has been running at a decent clip in the years leading up to the pandemic, you know, averaging around, I'd say around $2 trillion globally from 2015 to 2019. And then the pandemic happened, obviously, in 2020. There was a great shock to the economy and financial system. M&A went down. But then with ultra-low rates in 2021 and 2022, you had 2021, you know, nearing $3 trillion global worth of M&A. And then since then, after the rate hikes in 2022, M&A has definitely been in a slump alongside other activity in the deal-making space from private equity onwards. And so we're all thinking about when is it likely going to rebound, and expectations year to year from 2024 were hoping that this is the year of the M&A, and 2025 really looked like it was the year of the M&A, where we had, depending on how you count it, whether it's globally, you know, deals over 50 million or just the U.S., a pretty significant rebound, close to 50% from 2024 levels setting up 2025. So this is the highest amount in recent memory, definitely rivaling what we had in 2021 with, you know, I'd say higher rates, which are definitely headwinds to deal-making activity, a better economy, but definitely a significant amount of headwinds that we're seeing this year that we've also seen in 2021. So it does show that the enthusiasm from people in the deal-making space does seem to continue. And I think 2026, we're thinking that activity can be even better than last year. That was predicated on the idea that we'll have a pretty still strong economy, equity market still quite robust, and then in the first half of the second half of the year, easier financial conditions thanks to the OBBBA taking into effect as well as the Fed cutting rates. Some of that has been upended with the conflict in Iran right now, just given the fact that a higher oil prices threatens what the Fed might want to do when it starts cutting rates, because it pushes up inflation. Higher inflation, you're less likely to cut rates. It might be a hindrance to M&A activity. So that's a big question mark, I think, on dealmakers' minds right now. You know, can policy really still be an incremental positive this year? And can dealmakers look through all the geopolitical noise that has been, I guess, dominating headlines in Q1 at least?
Okay, so a lot there to consider, though it sounds like the momentum remains intact. Now, just surveying the landscape, Paul, what kinds of trends have you been picking up on as of late?
A couple of things really stand out to us. I think kind of like what we saw in 2024, just given a different background for M&A, a lot of the deals have been upscale, so larger deals and mega deals are really driving the value rebound. So the count of M&A deals has been declining, but the overall volume has still been increasing. It tends to favor mega deals. We're also seeing that AI is accounting for about 50% of M&A dollars for the first time ever, and it probably will look like it'll be a theme that will last for quite a long time, because you have a lot of companies now either thinking about how to ride the AI wave or to expand their capabilities so they don't get lost in other companies adopting various forms of AI. So really future-proofing various parts of their businesses. You know, all that said, you know, it's not all roses in the deal-making space. Obviously, in private equity, fundraising remains a significant challenge, and dry powder is, I think, the closer reaches a record high as a result of exit activity is improving, but still remains quite slow.
And of course, Paul, have to spend a few moments on the impacts, influences of artificial intelligence, AI. From what you've been seeing, Paul, what is the impact that AI is having on the deal-making space today?
Yeah, I think I'd like to look at it from two perspectives. And the first one is from a practitioner point of view, those firms enacting M&A deals. From what we hear, AI tools are just more and more broadly used into the M&A process. I think it used to be concentrated in the first part of the deal-making process, really sourcing deals, either going through diligence, and then now AI sophistication. And I think the trust has gotten to the point where a lot of AI has been deployed in either in the post-deal transaction. So whether that's finding the right deliverables or making sure that things are up to scale, or having those portfolio companies having similar sort of dashboards to report back to the GPs, AI is increasingly being deployed in more creative ways during the M&A process. And in the deal-making space at all, I mentioned that AI is taking about 50% of M&A dollars. It was taking more of that in terms of share in the VC space. And I think the excitement for markets later this year is whether or not is what influence AI will have in the IPO space. You take a look at the 10 most valuable private companies, but five of them are AI native. A lot of them are AI adjacent, the top one obviously being SpaceX. But if you look at just AI native companies, names like OpenAI, Anthropic, XAI, Waymo, for example, we have even a fraction of those companies come to market, I think that will really upend the IPO space. Because right now, the IPO space has been recovering, but hasn't done as well as M&A, for example. We've had only a tepid recovery with 2025 coming back to what looks like pre-pandemic levels. So at around $44 billion worth of proceeds in the U.S., I think consensus is around 60 to 80 billion, so that's a pretty healthy amount for IPOs this year. But we have any one of those AI native companies come on, OpenAI, Anthropic, for example, that can push IPO proceeds to a historic record amount. And I think some consensus numbers were between 160 to even a north of $200 billion worth of IPOs. So that's a significant amount of change in the IPO space as a result of AI. And if those companies debut and it's taken well by the markets, that could potentially unlock a wave of tangential IPOs as well. But a lot of companies still on the shelf looking to go public, but seeing sort of choppy market conditions that are preventing them from really making that next step in terms of their and the company's trajectory.
Well, Paul, very interesting insights. Always intriguing to hear about what's going on within the deal-making space, what's driving activity, and what the outlook is. So thank you for dropping by Top of the Morning, spending a few moments here with our listeners, our clients, keeping them current on what's going on, how CIO is thinking about it, and do look forward, as always, to continuing with our conversation.
Thanks for having me.
And again, today we've been joined by Paul Hsiao, Asset Allocation Strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office, again, referencing the latest CEO Macro Briefing book, which again is available for you now up on ubs.com/CIO. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.